Today's lesson is Psalm 126, and you can find it on page 623 in the Church Bibles. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Mary, can I pray for you before you speak to us? Father, thank you for Mary. Thank you for her faithfulness. Thank you for her love for you. I pray that as she speaks to us now, we would hear your voice. We would hear any challenge you have for us to change. We would know more of your love. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. So Psalm 126 in our series on seasons of being a disciple. And today we're looking at the season of sowing seeds. And I've really enjoyed digging into this psalm and finding out a bit more about it. I discovered that this psalm was written when the Jews returning to Jerusalem following the exile in Babylon. And I don't know if you know the history of the Jews, but at the end of the 6th century BC, the kingdom of Judah was dismantled by the Babylonian Empire, and Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and thousands of high-ranking Jews were exiled to Mesopotamia, so that they left the land to the children and the women and the poor. And then other nations were moved in to the land. So it was a place that was not thriving in the Jewish religion. And then about 50 years later, in 538 BC, I'm not very good when we go backwards, but that's 50 years later from when the exile happened, the Babylonian Empire fell, and the Persian Empire gained control of Mesopotamia and most of the Middle East. And one of the first rulers of that empire was King Cyrus. And he issued a famous edict, and it's narrated at the beginning of the book of Ezra, allowing the Jews who wished to return to Jerusalem, that is in Judah, and build a house for the God of heaven. And I really encourage you, if you're interested in this, to read the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, because that describes what happened at this time. And so here we have the Jews rejoicing to be back home, but realizing there's much work to do to restore the land. I think if we think of exiles today returning, we long, don't we, when we see places that are war-torn or places where there's been persecution that Simon prayed about earlier. We long for the people to be able to return to the place of their birth and to where their roots are. And yet we know that when they do return, it's not actually just going to be plain sailing. There's going to be masses to do. A national identity needs to be re-established, and culture and religious practices need to be reinstated. And in this case, the temple had to be rebuilt, and that's why Cyrus sent them back, primarily to build the temple. And also, the ground will have to be ploughed and planted with seeds. And actually, that is particularly hard in Israel, because the ground is very barren, there's a lot of stones, and when ground is left untended, the stones will come to the surface. So it's going to be a very hard thing to do. And they'd also have to use precious grain. They probably would have built or brought grain back with them, but there's the tension of making bread with the grain or planting it. And you have to have a long-term plan to plant the grain and not just to grind it for bread. So they, and then they would have to have waited for the harvest, working hard all the time. The return came in three different stages. First of all, Zerubbabel, he was one of the royal house of David, and he came with 40,000 people, we read in Ezra. And I just wanted to try and get that in perspective in my head. So I looked up the population of Whitney, and I discovered there are 27,000 people, according to the 2011 census, living in Whitney. So there were masses of people coming back, and this song is written by a representative of those people. And then Ezra came to reinstate the priesthood and reinstate God's law. And then Nehemiah came to pull everyone together. Because God was doing something new. And they were celebrating. They were excited about what God was doing. Don't you love the joy in verses 1 and 2? We were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongue with songs of joy. There was such celebration. And they recognized God's hand in their release and their return. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Such a sense of celebration that they were coming home. But then the psalmist recognizes that it will still be hard, and he recognizes that it's been hard in the past, but it will still be hard. But they cry out to God to help them to move forward into a new stage of their history. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. God has sown the seeds of return in many different ways. Cyrus's victory over the Babylonians and Cyrus's willingness to let the Jews return. The reaction to Nehemiah's sorrow at the plight of the Jews. God was still sowing seeds of recovery in the land. In fact, as we read the Old Testament, we see again and again this cycle of God calling his people back to himself, and then their subsequent sin and separation from him. And it's like a cycle in the Old Testament. God, they came close to God, and then they let him go. And it's always followed by restoration of relationship. At this stage, they prayed for streams in the Negev. And I think it's hard for us to grasp that in our country where we have plenty of water. But I was reading about, when I was looking at this passage, about the Negev desert and these dry stream beds that they have in what are called wadis. And apparently when it rains torrentially, and these wadis fill with water. And very quickly, as often happens in desert, when water comes, life springs out of it. And that's what they were praying for. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. We looked at Ezekiel's passage in Ezekiel 47 this year, this week at Alpha. We were looking at that lovely picture that Ezekiel has of streams of living water flowing out from under the altar. And I'd encourage you to read that as well. And of all our titles in this series, this is one of the ones that speaks most of seasons in the natural self. in the natural sense. Sowing and growing and harvest are part of the rhythms of life. So how does this relate to our lives? I'm slightly challenged by Simon's notice, because I think that God is doing a new thing in this place. We've had many promises that God is doing a new thing, and some of us find that difficult. But we need to go with God in this. What do we need to do? As individuals, we all have seasons of being close to God and then drifting away, maybe a little, maybe a lot. And God will call us back to himself. And all through the ups and downs of life, God will be planting seeds in our lives. And sometimes in weeping and sorrow, and sometimes in joy. But we need to recognize when God is planting seeds in our lives. And we need to rejoice that there is a harvest coming. And for us as a church, I apologize to visitors, but I just feel very passionate about this, that at our church, I feel that we've had many promises, as I said, that God is going to do something new in this place. A friend of mine who doesn't live in Whitney had a picture just recently of a great tidal wave starting in Whitney and going out into the surrounding countryside. And it wasn't like a frightening thing. This wave was going to be breaking down strongholds in the villages and the towns around. And this was going to be something good and new and refreshing from God. As in 6th century Zion, God is gathering people here in Whitney. We've had, apparently, in the last year, 100 people to welcome suppers. God is doing something extraordinary in this place. He's gathering people. He has sent us an Ezra to lead us into the new part of our history at Cogs and into the town beyond our gates. Because this isn't for us, it's to extend his kingdom around and to spread his kingdom from this place. And we are definitely in a time of seeds being sown. And God has definitely been sowing the seeds in the months and years leading up to this day. So, and how can we get place of harvest? Am I going in and out a bit? Should I turn this off? This one off?
Yeah.
Right. Just getting to the exciting bit. So how do we keep in step with God's plan? How do we pray in those streams in the Negev? No seed can grow in ground that is hard and uncultivated. We need to create a community here where people feel safe enough to do risky things for God. We must join together. We must know each other deeply. We must learn to support one another. And you will always hear, every time I stand up here, I will tell you to join a connect group. Because if you get connected in, then you will have the support and the love that you need to go out and do things for God. I was really challenged actually this week in our group. We've got a fantastic connect group. I say that because there are quite lots of thumbs going up in the congregation. I was really challenged this week as we studied Rich's sermon from a couple of weeks ago, to take more time with God. And you know, when we're in an accountable relationship with other people in a connect group, we get challenged to do the things. And this week I've been much better at spending time alone with God. I'm not a person who finds that easy. I'm a person who loves to do
rather than to be quiet. And seeds do not necessarily grow without a struggle. We need to be prepared to leave our comfortable status quo. The work the Jews would have to do was not easy, and our next stage may not be that easy either. And as Simon said, there are some people who are uncomfortable with change. I'm very blessed because I actually love change. But I appreciate that not everybody does. But we need to be prepared to be moved out of the place where we're comfortable when God is challenging us. In our Connect group this term, we're leading an Alpha course, and we were very challenged at the beginning of the Alpha course that if lots of people came to Alpha, we might have to separate the group into two to absorb the new disciples. And, you know, we found that difficult. We love being together. But if God is moving in this place, we've got to be prepared to do things that we don't necessarily find easy. And lastly, and most importantly, no seed can grow without being watered. When we came to the 24/7, it was 24/1, I can't remember quite what it was. Anyway, I hadn't actually realised what I was going to be preaching on, but I had a picture of seeds being sown and the seeds growing into beautiful plants, and God said to me that it was the prayers of the people that would water the seeds. And no amount of plans and strategies will work if they're not in step with what God wants for us. And so we must invest in the prayer life of our church. We must spend time with quiet in God, both individually and as a gathered people to listen to his voice. So in conclusion, it's an exciting time to be around. Are we excited? Are we like men who dreamed? Are our mouths filled with laughter, and are we filled with joy? When I speak to friends around the country about what God is doing in this place, I get very excited, and I go all sort of goose pimples the back of my neck, and I get very excited. And then I come home, and I get into the routine of shopping and cooking and doing all the things that you have to do. And my excitement wears off. But I must not get into a rut and lose that edge that I have when I speak to others. The challenge for me, and maybe for you, is to move from my pedestrian way of thinking and engage with what God is entrusting to us as a gathered people. We all have our part to play. So I would ask you to weigh this word and just spend some time seeing if this is what you believe, that God is sowing seeds, not just in this church, but in churches across Whitney, and then coming before him and just asking him what part you have to play in it.
Well, I'm excited. I continue to be excited. It may surprise you, but it's nearly 2 years since Sue and I arrived now. It's 2 years in January, and it has flown by, and it's been an incredibly exciting 2 years, and I continue to be excited because I believe we're just seeing the start of all that God wants to do in, through us, and beyond us as well. So it's incredibly exciting. Before we sing, I just want us to stand together, and I want to pray into us what Mary has just spoken. So please stand. And I pray that we would regain our focus, that we would remember how good God is. I pray that we would be filled with joy as a family, as we celebrate. I pray that we'd be excited by all that God is doing. And I pray that we would know the living water that brings the seed to life. The seed within us and the seed beyond us, that a wave might go out from this place. And if you are feeling a bit parched this morning, if you're feeling that you are in the desert or have been in the desert, and I just encourage you to hold out your hands, to open your heart and say, God, would you pour your living water into my life again? So just hold out your hands. Father, pour out your living water. Pour out your living water. Bring the deserts to life. Just receive the refreshment of the Spirit of God. Amen.